Is this like where like all the country stars send their dogs?
I don't know. My mom found it. Well, because I mean, I've had Crew when I was still living. I got him when my last year I was living in Auburn.
Yeah,
that's where I was going to school. And I was playing cover gigs. So like the whole time I've had him, I've been traveling.
You've had the dog that long? How old is he?
Four.
Or she?
Four.
Four.
Crew. His name's Crew, like Motley Crew, spelled with the two.
Are you a Crew fan?
Well, the reason he's named Crew is because at first I wanted to name him Prine after John Prine, but everyone thought I was saying Brian. And I was like, I'm not naming my dog Brian. It makes me think of Family Guy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That you can't do that.
You can't do that.
You can't name your
and
dog.
And then we went with Motley first. And then everyone's like, Molly? And I was like, nope. So Crew, it's what just stuck.
Crew's a hard name. You in like
can't mess it
you
up.
Can't mess it up.
No, it's cool too because like my touring company now is called Crew Touring.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah.
What do you have? Wait, how many companies do you have? Like, you need a lot, when you're an artist, you need a lot of LLCs, right?
Yeah.
So do you have like the touring one, and then do you have like do you have any others? Do you have like a merch company? Songwriter.
I'd have to go back and look and see what my songwriter. Yeah, the Crew Touring is the only one right now. It's funny, I got my like gold card and it says Crew Touring at the bottom.
What's a gold card? Like,
I don't know.
Oh, like a credit card.
Yeah, like a credit card.
Yeah. Like you got your card for a touring company that you use.
Yeah, yeah.
And it says
Crew
Touring
at the bottom.
That's good. I like
that. I was thinking about naming, we're kind of trying to figure out what we wanted to name like the fan club, you know, and I think we want to go with Ella's Crew and spell it with like how C-R-U-E with the two dots above the U.
Oh, I love that. What about Crew Club?
Crew Club, that rolls right off the tongue too.
I think it does. Ella's Crew though, that's you
Ella's
can't
crew.
You can't miss.
Yeah, I mean either way, I just am excited about it. That's my I love that dog. He's awesome. I'm excited whenever we get into a bus, he's on.
He comes with you on the bus?
We're not in a bus right now. He's done some van runs with us, but
really?
He's been in the car like traveling because I mean, the year after I got him, I moved to Nashville, so and it's 4.5 hours back, and I mean, he's just so good in the car.
Do you think that the other band members secretly hate when he comes on
No. They love
cuz I
when
hate
he comes on
when like with the other band members when they bring friends or like a photographer.
Yeah.
I hate that.
No, the crew.
The less
like,
people in the van, the better.
He's like, he's just one of those dogs. Like, I really got him because I was kind of sad at that point in my life. Like, I didn't know what was going on, you know. And I just love, obviously, dogs. Big fan. And so I think he's just like somehow become this comfort thing for people, and he like just knows how to be that way. I don't know.
So what's the deal? Do I need to get a dog? Because I've been thinking about
yes.
this for months.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. You can't get a dog and just think it's going to be good. You know what I mean? Like,
what,
you've got to put the
work
in.
What does that mean? What do you mean?
Well, because some people get a dog, and then they're like, all right, now you're a dog. You know what I mean? And
what do you mean, now you're... Like, they don't train it?
Yeah, like, they just
so it,
let them be, you know? And if I let Crew just be...
what's going to happen?
I don't know. I want them to behave. I never want people to come over to my house and be like, God, I love hanging out with Ella, but her dog sucks.
So, but what do you have to figure out how to train?
Yeah,
train it?
Yeah, I take it very seriously. I watch a lot of videos. He can do a lot. He's a little show pony.
What do you do? Like, what? Like, give me one, and then we're gonna move on because we have a lot to talk about. But but give me like what are you training him to do?
Mainly like obedience stuff, and then he has some tricks and things that he can do, like show me your paws, and he'll stand up and show me his paws, and I'll be like,
oh my God.
Bow, and he'll like. Bow in front of me, and I don't know. I like to be able to show people his tricks too. It's funny because my roommate, Trey Lewis, is my roommate, and he's lived with me since I moved here. We've lived together,
yeah.
And so Crew's like kind of his dog too, and he gets so excited to show people his tricks. He's like, "Watch this!"
But it's not his dog. Let's
no,
let's
it's
be
not
right,
his
Trent.
Dog.
It's not your dog. It's Ella's dog.
Yeah, he's.
Why don't you have your own place? I feel like if I was Ella Langley, you got an EP release day today, debut EP. Shouldn't you have your own place? Why are you staying with Trey Lewis?
Because,
shouldn't Trey have his own place too? He's got to be doing pretty well.
I don't know, dude. It's just I'm around so many people all the time, like especially on the road. Like my social energy just, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And then when you come home to just straight quiet. It's like everyone calls it like Sunday depression when you get off the road. Everyone that goes on the road all week and you get back and it's just quiet. You've been around people all day, every day for days on end. Trey and Trey, like, you know, we're not related, but we are, you know. I mean, he's just somebody. I mean, he's just somebody that he's like my brother, you know. It's nice to have somebody there, and he helps me with the crew, and I don't know. It's good emotional support system for both of us.
So you guys just like being around. You probably could be on your like.
We've almost killed each other plenty of times, but it's like that.
What? How big
thing.
Is this house? Or where are you living? Apartment or?
No, we live in a house. This is our third house together.
You guys are moving house to house to house.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is our third house together. We lived in the first one. We've lived in Hermitage the whole time.
How many bathrooms?
Two. Three. This one's three. This is our nicest house by far. We decided we wanted to step up in the world and be adults.
When's this going to end, though? When are you going to get your own
place?
I don't know.
Trey
says can't go on
even
forever.
If I have a shed, he'll just live in my backyard. It's like a full house thing. It really is. Like, I just think one day, if I ever settle down, probably forever away from now, he'll probably just have a little
he'll
house.
He'll still be there somewhere.
Yeah.
Or you'll be in, like, a compound.
Yeah.
Like Brandi Carlile.
That's what
like,
me
and, everyone will be on the compound.
Me and Joy Beth, one of my main co-writers, Joy Beth Taylor, we were just talking about this again last night. We've been talking about this since we met each other, about getting a big piece of land and just starting off with, like, two really nice trailers on each side until we can build a house.
And slowly building
slowly
up.
Slowly build it out.
I don't understand this mentality. Like, I go out with a band, and the, like, leaders of the band, they're like, no, we got to stay together. Like, we all have to get dinner together. Like, we have to do this together. Like, we can't separate. And I don't vibe with that. I'm like, let me just do my own thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to live with you on land. Like, I want my own land.
See, I love that. I grew up that way, though. We grew up on land where, you know, our neighbors were everywhere, and it'd be cool. But, you know, it's like with this job, too, like, you don't get to see everyone all the time. You know, it's really such a demanding job. So I feel like just us living on a big compound with a big pond in the middle, you know what I mean? That's enough
distance.
That
would
work. That's enough distance. Like, you know, we're talking about a lot of land here. If we're going to buy some land, we're going to buy
the land. You're talking about a small town.
Yeah,
basically.
I mean, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Come over here. I got an idea. Come ride on it.
And boom, you're right over.
Yeah. I mean, we're just going to have some
I wouldn't like that, though. I
love that.
I would not want to be on the same land as anyone. I mean, you sort of are, but yeah. Like,
I could spit on my neighbor's yard right now, so, I mean, that's just so.
That's not what I want. That's not what I want.
No, we're a little too redneck for this neighborhood. Me and Trey, we're talking about we don't know how much longer we can stay here. We
really?
Keep getting
why?
In trouble
What's
with
the vibe?
HOA.
Why? What are you doing?
They don't like Trey's bass boat in the front.
Why not?
I don't know. There's too many cars. There's a van and trailer out there.
And people really care?
Oh, they care. They care a lot.
About the boat being out front?
Yeah.
That's got to piss you off.
Oh, that's why. Well, my neighbors. So our yard, I've always had a backyard, a fenced-in backyard, and this one doesn't. And my dog is kind of like, dude, he just wants
crew. We're talking about crew here. Yeah.
Yes. So he just wants to run around. And anyways, he might have pooped a couple times in their yard, and I missed it or whatever, you know. And they put it in a grocery bag on my front doorstep. Like, first week I moved in, and I was like, yep, this ain't going to work. This is not going to work for me.
You know what I did when I moved into my new building? I didn't know that there were assigned parking spots. So I parked. I just pulled into a parking spot, started loading up, came downstairs. And this guy said to me, you know, that's my spot. And I was like, oh, like, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And he goes, well, if you didn't know, why'd you park there? That's what he said to me. And I was like, well, good to see you, too. And I just, like, walked away.
Yeah, see, this is why I need just a long driveway up to a house.
This is why I don't want to live with anyone. Like,
yeah,
this is why I don't want any neighbors.
Yeah, I feel
and
that.
I do this thing, too. Like, I'm intentionally not friendly to my neighbors, which I think is not what you're supposed to do. But I've actually spoken to people about this. Like, I don't want to be friends with my neighbors. Like, I don't want to feel like I have to, like, compromise.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be like, I don't want to play my music loudly because I'm super friendly with my neighbor.
Yeah.
It's like, I just don't want to know
them. Just play it loudly.
I'm not friendly. I'm just not friendly. Like, I just don't want to know them.
My parents from back home, like, that, like, you never know who's going to walk inside. I've never seen my parents lock their front door. Like, unless we're going on a vacation, like, they just don't do it. Whoever could just come over and walk in. The neighbors come over, bring their kids over. Like, it's just how it's always
been. Can I tell
you
something crazy? If I walk out of my apartment to go get Postmates, I lock my door.
Yeah.
Every time.
That's something that me and Trey, I'm like, dude, you have to lock the door.
And he doesn't do it.
No. Like, you have to lock the door. We don't live in a country town.
This is not the safest spot in the world.
No. Lock the door.
Yeah. Okay, here's the point, though. We're celebrating Ella today because her debut EP is out. And I was looking at this. I feel like this should have come out a long time ago. Like, I just am surprised that this is your debut EP, because I, in my head, I like, you were releasing music, and I just felt like for sure you would have put out a debut project. But this is it. Well, this is the debut EP.
Well, and a lot of, and I had a lot of questions. People, a lot of people have asked me why I haven't put out music yet. And for me, I just, I wanted it to be the right songs. I want, if I'm going to wait, I want it, it has to, every song on there has to mean something, say something, you know? And I think that, I mean, I've only been here 4 years, you know, so, I mean, I was looking the other night at videos of songs that, you know, the first songs I'd written, and it's not that long ago, you know, and, you know, I wrote my first song probably like 6 or 7 years ago. So, I mean, first actual song, you know, not the ones I'll just be around the house writing as a kid. So, you know, when it came to, it's just, we've put out singles. And we put out, you know, a little bit here and there, but I really wanted to make sure that not only did I have these songs meant something and said something and represented me as an artist and, you know, all the different lights that is, but I also wanted to make sure that I had the songs to back it up. You know, I want to, I don't, whenever I start putting out music, you know, today, I don't want to quit. I want to keep putting out music, and I want them to be as good as this EP is every time.
Do you feel like you were waiting? Because I feel like there's a lot of pressure with the first project to get the messaging right about who you are. Yeah. I feel like every song here reveals a little bit about who you are, like your brand. Maybe that's not a great word, but like you were looking for the songs. Is that what you were doing, to try to find the songs that were going to say who Ella Langley is?
Well, too, you gotta think, like, I'm still cultivating this sound, you know what I mean? I'm still this is still gonna keep evolving, you know. I just turned 24, you know, so and you know, with all of these songs, I just wanted them to be like, all right, this is one place that you can go start right now, that is, here's exactly what I do as not just an artist but a human being, you know. And so that's why we picked these ones specifically. And it's cool, the oldest one on there is like 2 years old.
Which one?
It's called Where You Left It. It's one I wrote with Jordan Fletcher. We wrote it over Zoom because it was still Zoom times. I didn't do very many Zoom writes, but this is before I signed a publishing deal. This is when I was kind of shopping around town and just writing it anywhere, writing with everybody. And Jordan Fletcher is somebody that I've known for a while because he's from Alabama and I watch him play shows. So it's cool. You know, the newest one on there is probably, when you say it could have been her, is probably the youngest on there. And that one we wrote back in the summer. I think it just, I didn't want to put it out till I feel like I had every bit of what I wanted on there.
That, you know, song is really revealing who Ella is, right? Like, if you listen to that, you're like, oh, I have a sense of who Ella is.
That's
right?
The goal.
That's the goal with the debut EP. That's what the debut EP has to accomplish,
yeah,
right? A little bit.
Yeah. Well, and to me, like, you know, whether, obviously I want this EP to do well and I want people to love the songs, but, you know, I just wanted it to be something that I was proud of and my team was proud of, you know, and songs that I could go back and listen to 20 years from now and just remember where I was in my life at that point in time when I wrote the songs and when I put it out. And I mean, all of these songs are just so special to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That song could have been her. That is about how you are looking at someone else and saying, I could have been that person, but that would have been miserable. That would have been horrible if I ended up like that.
Yeah. Well,
right?
I think it's more about, you know, well, that, and thinking about the person that, you know, if you didn't stand up for yourself, if you didn't be like, all right, this isn't a healthy situation for me to be in. And it's not just romantic, you know what I mean? Could be work. It could be any relationship you have in your life that's not, you know, mentally healthy or physically healthy or whatever it may be. And having that, you know, strength to be able to stand up for yourself and say, hey, this isn't what I want for my life. And then, you know, getting down the road a little bit and being able to look back on, thank God. Because, you know, when you make a big life-changing decision on ending a relationship with somebody, you know, that it, you question it a little bit. I don't think anyone makes a decision and doesn't, you know, wonder what the other thing could have been, you know, a little bit. That's just human nature. So Definitely looking back and thinking about, man, I'm so proud of myself for being able to do that, you know?
Are you good at just calling it off and, like, you're done? Or do you go back a couple
times? No, I don't go back.
You don't go back.
If we're done, we're done.
We're done.
We're done. There's no
go back. You can't
go back. If I've made my mind up, well, I don't do something if I don't think I'm going to do it all the way, and I don't quit something unless I'm going to quit it.
Like, yeah.
That's just, it's all in or all out.
Who texts you today? The debut EP's out. Like, are a lot of people texting you and saying, hey, this is great. Congrats.
Yeah, a lot of co-writers and friends and people from back home. It's just, you know, and too, like, so much work goes into this stuff. You know, it's so much underground work. And I feel like not just this EP, but, you know, all the stuff that we've been doing, getting the team together and, you know, figuring that out. I just signed my record deal not even a year ago. So it just getting all of that cultivated and all the, you know, work that went into getting this thing done, it just feels like today. Like,
who's, like, the most famous person who's texted you being like, congrats on this album? Like, has Jamie Johnson reached out?
He was at the EP release party. I'm sure he will. He hasn't yet, but I'm sure he will. I mean, I have to go back to my phone. My phone is
blowing up
a bit like this morning.
Has anyone? Yeah.
This morning, I just kind of woke up and didn't really look at my phone. You know, I wanted to just be excited that the songs are out right
now. Did you feel really excited that this was coming out? Or has this been so much in the works that you're like, okay, like, it's out. Now it's like, I got a tour. Like, what's the next one?
No, and that's something that I constantly try to work on is being present and being grateful in the moment. You know, I think, like, with this journey, it's so easy to see where you want to go and forget about where you are. And I think, you know, just enjoying the wins is something that I work really hard on trying to do and be grateful for being able to put this dang music out. I mean, it's so much work has gone into it. So it feels like this little bit of relief in a way where, you know, people actually get to hear what I've been doing. I don't have to send them songs anymore. They can go listen to it. And there's just, you know, with this one EP, I don't feel like I need to explain my sound anymore. You know, I feel like, if you want to know it, just go listen down to this EP once.
It's there. You don't have to send, like, a cryptic link to listen to the EP.
Right.
It's now on Spotify.
And that's I've always had the hardest time trying to explain my sound, you know, because there's so many different layers to it, and it's almost hard to explain how they make sense together until you listen to it together, you know? And so now it's nice that there is just one body of work that is like, here you go. And
what is it, though? The first time I saw you play, I thought you sound like, the vibe was like rocking. It almost felt a little bit like Jason Aldean, maybe. Mm-hmm. But there were some deeper country roots.
Yeah.
Some really great songwriting. Like, what is the sound? Or it's just the EP.
I think it's country rock storyteller is what I keep saying.
Is that a genre? Or
I don't know.
I mean, that makes
so
much sense to me.
Yeah,
that's
country rock storyteller is what I just keep saying.
Yeah.
You know, because if you come see us live, like, I love a rock show. I love to have fun, and I want beer being spilled everywhere, but there's also those moments and falling in love so much with the songwriting aspect of this job. And so those songs, I feel like, are really cool live, too, and showcased in a way that is, like, you know, these lyrics are straight out my diary. You know, these are real situations that I've been in. I say the songwriters in this town know way too damn much about my personal life. You know, I feel like my music changed a lot even in the past year, and that's another reason why I wanted to wait. And not even my music, but I think the way I approach songwriting. You know, when I first moved here, it was like, all right, what do I think people want from me? You know, because you get a lot, always people are always telling you what they think about what you're doing, yada, yada, yada. And that's how I was trying to write, I think, for the, you know, the first year and a half I was here. I was like, what do people want from me? Until something happened and I was like, I need to write this song because I need to write it, you know? And then I think it clicked in my brain where I was like, okay, I write about real situations and real things. And there's also obviously songs on there like That's Why We Fight, you know, that is just such a fun, just a good rock song, you know what I mean? And it has, you know, a story behind it, but, you know, that is something that I hold really close, and I think country does so well is the stories behind the songs and the stories in the songs. You know, I feel like you really get to learn who that artist is, even if you didn't follow them on social media, if you didn't know anything about their life. I feel like, you know, you get to know them as a human being, and that's what makes people fall in love with an artist. You know?
The song that I heard that really made me, you know, vibe with you with your artistry was Hey Ma, I Made It. But that's not on the EP. That would have been a perfect fit for this EP, wouldn't it have been?
We debated on what songs we wanted to bring back and put on there, but you know, those songs are already out. And I think with this EP, the way these songs fit together, I really truly think it tells a story. And I mean, Hey Ma would have fit on there, but I really wanted, you know, to give the people, I need to put music out in the first place. You know, I have so many songs, I don't know what to do with them at this point, you know what I mean, other than to put them out. So I just, you know, I wanted to put new ones out there. I wanted, you know, and I'm sure we'll do something with Hey Ma, I Made It Again one day. I mean,
how do you write that song? Because I'm trying to figure this out. I don't know how you do this. You bring in that hook, and then do you instantly see, oh my God, this, like, there's angles. There's all these angles that this hook is going to take.
Well, it's not, I mean, it's different how you go about writing a song every time. But that song, Hey Ma,
was that your hook? Did you bring that in?
Yeah, it was mine. And I kind of knew what I wanted to say in the verses. I kind of knew how I wanted to, just the message behind the song. I knew the story behind it that I wanted to make sure that was in there. I wrote it with Mark Addison Chandler and Davis Corley, and I remember bringing it in that day, and I was like, hey, I've got this. It's something I text my mom, you know, it's straight up a message. I'll be like, hey, Mom, I made it. And one day I was looking at it when I texted her and I wrote it down, and I was like, that'd be a cool idea for a song. So, yeah, I just brought that title in, and I was like, hey, this is kind of how I want to write it. And those.
What do you explain? Do you outline the song? Do you say, hey, I got this hook, and I think the first verse could be this, second verse could be this, or like instantly, I think with that hook, you kind of get where it's going, right?
Yeah, I think it's more like, you know, when you bring in a hook, you kind of just give the general idea of the song, you know, like, I'm trying to get, Make Me Want to Smoke is one that is a good one. That one is, whenever I brought that idea in there, I was actually writing with Davis Corley when I got the title. He goes outside and smokes cigarettes when he needs to think about a line. And sometimes I'll go out there and smoke a cigarette with him. And, we were sitting outside and he was lighting my cigarette, and I was like, Davis, you just make me want to smoke. And then I, like, wrote it down, and I was like, that's a great idea. And I was thinking about, you know, whenever you're thinking about titles, you kind of dissect it a little bit in your brain. And it's cool, too, and that's what's the cool part about co-writing is the way you think about a song or the idea you have behind a title can completely change in the write because somebody else is like, well, what if we wrote it like this? Like, you know, tell a little story behind it. And it's like, oh, my God, the flip on the hook there or the way that is approached is genius.
Yeah, so. I was just thinking, though, if I brought in Hey Ma, I Made It as a hook to a write, I feel like they would think I was genius. I feel like that is so good. Did they have that reaction? Were they like, oh, my God, that's we have to do that?
Well, we definitely didn't throw any other hooks after I said it, you know.
They like, that to me is, like, it's so good, right? Like, everyone texts that. Like, that is, you know what that is, right?
Yeah, and I think that's what's cool about a couple of these songs, like, Don't We All on there, you know. That was a phrase that I was just saying. Like, I was explaining kind of where I was at in my life, and we said something, and somebody else was like, Don't We All? And that's how we didn't even come in with that hook that day. Someone just said it in the write, and we're like, we should write it like that.
Yeah.
But that's what we're writing today. So.
What's the deal with Make Me Want to Smoke? Because I was looking at new music today, and there are two songs out called Make Me Want to Smoke. I was like, these can't be the same songs.
Oh, it is.
And then they're the same songs.
Yes, it is.
What's happening here?
You
wrote this song.
I did. I did write it. So, very long story short, I went in for a meeting. This is right when If You Have To. It was kind of having some traction. I went in for a meeting with the record label that has signed the other band. And I was 21. And I was very, very vocal on, I'm not ready to sign a record deal yet. You know, I just signed publishing, you know, I'm getting a little traction, but I didn't want to sign off of a song on TikTok. You know what I mean? Like, not yet, you know, if anything.
Why not?
I wasn't ready. I knew I wasn't ready. I knew I wanted to write more. I wanted to figure out my voice. I just wasn't ready yet. There's that, and that should be it. That's all I should have to say is I wasn't ready yet, you know? And they were very persistent in that meeting about me signing, and I was honest in that meeting, and ended up having a write with one of the guys that was in that meeting, the other co-writer on that song. And I mean, I've been playing this song out live since we wrote it. I've been doing it over a year and a half. Every show, I've been, you know, teaching it to the fans. You know, fans, I was trying to win over, you know. And so I've had it on hold the whole time. I was going to cut it, and we found out. After we had cut it, we saw a video of them playing it live, and I was like, what?
Can they do that? Don't they need all the publishers
because,
to sign
because
off?
So we cut it on a Friday. They went in and got first licensing on a Monday, which means they can put it out. Any co-writer can get first licensing.
Yeah.
You know, this is a situation that doesn't happen all the time. It's
I've never
very
seen
rare.
This happen
a
ever.
Lot of, a lot of people, you know, a lot of my team that I work with, like, we've never seen this happen before. So, I mean, obviously, if you're a writer and, you know, I've written for other artists as well, if they cut the song, I'm excited about it, of course, that you want the artist that you wrote that song for. I mean, it was my, you know, my hook, like, you know. And I don't know. I can't speak for them as to why they decided that they wanted to use this song, even though they knew that I'd cut it, went in and cut it after I cut it. Put it out on the same day. I can't really speak to that because I don't really know why. I don't have an answer. I'd really rather not be dealing with the whole situation. But at the end of the day, like, you know, I'm proud of the song. Obviously, it's the one that I've known since I wrote it. I wanted to put on there. That was the first one that we knew. We kind of built this EP around that song and the vibe off of it. So,
does anybody say to you, "Hey, they're cutting this song. They had the first." Right, you know,
they went about it very quietly, and it's not the band. It wasn't. I want to make that very clear that it wasn't the band. It was the guys that were a little upset. I didn't sign over there for whatever reason. They did it. You know what I mean? It was definitely a jab. They knew what they were doing. I think they were trying to hurt me a little bit by picking this song. I mean, we live in a song machine town. Well, there are more songs written in this town. Incredible songs every single day. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I just. It's a crazy situation, you know, but there's nothing I can do about it. I can't change it. And that's the hill they want to die on, you know. And when I say they, I just keep wanting to make it clear it's not the band. It is.
Isn't this crazy that you're going to look back on this on your release day and you're this is hilarious. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it just
We're gonna
doesn't
laugh
make any
it.
Sense, you know what I mean?
It like, doesn't make any it, sense. I've never seen this happen where two songs come out on the same day of any kind.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, there's a lot of amazing people in this industry, but there are also a lot of not amazing people in this industry. And sometimes those guys try to win. And I don't think that in this world you do bad things to people and good things happen to you. You know what I mean? So that's a little bit how I just look at it. At the end of the day, karma's a bitch. You know what I mean? And I don't wish any bad will on that band, but those two guys, they know what they're doing.
Don't you think this is so petty?
It's just so petty.
This
it doesn't
is so
make
petty.
It doesn't make any sense, you know? And it's like, come on, like, I'm just doing my best out here. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a
it's
young artist.
It's hard enough.
It's hard enough. And I feel bad for them. They're getting mixed up in this whole situation, too, you know? And I don't think they'd want to be dealing with this either. And, you know, sometimes I'm lucky enough that I have a label that I have freedom in what I put out and what I do, and they really trust me and my decisions that I make. And some people aren't fortunate like that and, you know, don't really get to make any of their own decisions. So I don't know the whole story. I haven't talked to none of them have reached out to me, or I haven't talked to any of them about it. So I don't know. Just going to keep trucking along. We got a lot more in the tank. You know
what
I mean?
That's what you got to do.
Just, you know, let it brush off. And it's interesting they decided to do it on the same day, but, you know. Whatever.
It's unbelievable.
It's whatever.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it
okay,
is.
But the point is that the EP's out now. Excuse the Mess. This is the second song in the EP.
Yep.
So debut EP's out. What do we do? Why? How are you not on the road this weekend? Are you going out on the road this weekend?
So, I'm not. We're kind of, this top part of the year, I kind of took off a little bit from touring. We toured almost all last year. We played over 100 shows last year. I mean, we were gone all of last year, pretty much.
You know
much.
What I learned recently is you guys always go to Planet Fitness. Planet Fitness? Or
my guys do, for sure.
I go on the road.
I have two bodybuilders in my band.
You know what I say when I go on the road? I say, this is the run where I'm going to work out every morning.
Yeah.
And never.
They
never.
All do it, though.
They
like
all
my,
do it.
My band's easier, harder to get drink than not to drink. Like, they're very serious about their health and fitness, which is nice because... And they're like, Ella, come to the gym. And I'm like, I'm going to sleep in.
Yes.
Thank you.
The sleep is more important.
Yeah.
Than working
well,
out.
Sometimes
on the road.
It's good for your head. It gets a. You can tell a difference. I can tell a big difference in my shows when I work out, like a little bit before. I don't do anything crazy weights or anything. I kind of do that during the week, but on the road, I just go get on the treadmill and run for a second. It kind of gets my body moving.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
ready
yeah.
For the day.
Okay. So, but the album's out. What are we doing? What do we do this weekend?
This weekend, I'm just in celebrating that the dang thing's out. It's been so crazy, and all the everything we've been doing for it, I feel like it's been just a whirlwind this past, since January, it feels like 1 month, you know, it's ridiculous. So I'm kind of just taking it easy this weekend. I have a friend from back home coming into town celebrating, and we're going to go see the Stillwoods tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then But once we hit June, I mean, we ain't ever going to be home. So I'm taking this time right now to kind of enjoy.
Take it easy.
Well, I wouldn't say taking it easy, but not on the road. You know what I mean?
Do you have any friends who, like, you know, weren't really your friends growing up and now they're reaching out trying to, like, reconnect with you? Like, they're like, wait a second. Now is the time when I should be reaching out to Ella and try to get her good graces.
My dad was telling me about some people that were reaching out to him this morning. But, you know, he grew up in such a dang small town. Like, everyone still knows everybody. You know, my dad went to the same high school I went to. Like, you know, he's excited because it's class day and he gets to go see everyone because the music's out, you know.
Are you, like, a big shot? Like, when you go back to Alabama, where you're from a small town. What's the town called? Alabama.
It's called Hope Hull.
Hope Hull, Alabama. Mm-hmm. When you go back, are you, like, a huge deal? Like, does everyone kind of freak out about you?
When I go home, I kind of stick around my parents' house, or they have a lake house in Slapout, Alabama. I kind of stay there. But, yeah, I mean, it's starting to feel that way. It's cool. That's
I feel that way when I go back, and I'm not nearly as big a deal as you are.
I don't know.
Go back, I'm, like, a huge deal. I get concert tickets for people. I brought a high school friend to Harry Styles.
Yeah.
Like, they freaked out about that. They thought I was really cool. Like, it's not, like, I just think it's not that hard to impress people.
Well, one day.
But you're special. You're doing it.
I do remember one day, me and my dad, there's this little store that it's called Mosley's, and we were stopping in to get a hot dog or something, going to work on the hunt land. And I walked in, and I was in all my hunt stuff. I was wearing a ball cap, and everyone was, like, really quiet. I mean, I know everybody. I grew up there. You know what I mean? Everyone's
How many people
still
are in the town?
I think it's, like, 2,000, maybe.
Okay, yeah.
Like, not a lot, you know, but. Anyways, so everyone was really quiet to me, and I walked out, and I was like, Dad, why was everyone so quiet? He's like, because you're famous. they don't know what to say.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I'm like, what? Like, it's just, I don't think about it that way. Like, I don't think about myself that way. Like, when stuff like that happens, it catches me off guard. Because I don't know, like, if I could do this job, sell out a stadium, and still be able to go to the Walmart if I want to, I would do that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't do it to...
You wouldn't send people to the Walmart? That's what I would do.
Well, yeah.
I would never go into a grocery store ever again.
I like to look around. I like to scan around in there. Sometimes they have some good stuff in there. I mean, have you ever seen the Walmart Forces in there? My band just bought me a pair of Air Forces for my birthday because they're so tired.
From Walmart?
Yes, they're fire. I keep wearing them. They're just good. And they're $15. If they get messed up or smell weird, I just throw them out.
The band pulled together to get you $15 Air Forces?
No. Like, actual Air Forces because I kept wearing my Walmarts.
Oh, gosh. You kept wearing the Walmart, and they got you real Air Forces.
Yeah, that's a good gift. They were tired of the Walmarts. So.
That's a good gift. Yeah. So, wait. So, I'm trying to figure out your whole thing. So, you went to Auburn, and you dropped after 2 years. Mm-hmm. What did you study?
Forestry.
Forestry?
Yeah.
Like forests?
Yeah, like conservation and stuff.
Is that what you thought you were going to do?
No.
That's the most random major ever.
Well, the reason I did that, to be completely honest, is I feel like I've always been a little bit of the underdog my whole life. Like, everything
Are you a sibling? Do you have any siblings?
Three, yes. Yeah, so there's four of us.
Where do you fall?
Second.
Is that a middle mentality?
Maybe.
But you've always felt like the underdog?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, everything that I've done, you know, I wouldn't say I sucked at it at first, but I definitely had to work my ass off to get any kind of good at anything, I feel like, you know. So this isn't any different, you know. Like, this has been a big, big push, work every day, get better every day thing.
But you basically, so you went to Auburn to study forestry?
Oh, that's right. So forestry, so my ACT score was just not good. And I can't take a test to save my life. I can do all the work, but if you put me down and put a timer on and then I have to do that, no chance. Not my thing. So forestry was, I knew a couple people in there. My aunt was, or my cousin was kind of friends with people. And I grew up hunting and doing all that stuff. And they need women in that industry. They're, you know, really searching for women. And I was like, well, if I'm going to go to college... And because that was just the next step. My dad was really, really big on me going, and I'm so thankful I did because I met a lot of the people that I still work with today, music-wise, there. But, so my ACT score was trash, and I needed to get in, so I was like, yeah, I'll do that.
How to conserve forests?
Yeah.
Is that
so
what forestry's
like,
about?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of different things you can do with it. I mean, there's, like...
Name three.
Okay, well, one option is you can, you know... take care of the land. Like, you go out and you do controlled burns and do all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's another one where you can work for a bank and sell and buy properties for companies. And then they told me I could tag deer. I was pretty excited about that with a blow, like a blow thing. I never got to that. That was, like, your third year or something, and all I did, too, so.
So, but then what happens? You go to study forestry, and then both your grandparents were super musical.
Yeah.
Right? So you're studying forestry, but are you, like, I'm gonna be in a bar band or
yeah.
Like,
well, I mean,
that
before
simple?
I even went to Auburn, I started playing restaurant gigs. Like, I was just playing with a tip jar, me and acoustic, and sometimes I'd have a cajon player come out and play with
yeah.
me. And I had a band right when I started. I found some guys, and then Auburn, I was doing that for probably like a year and a half, 2 years maybe. And then I started doing, like, college bar gigs, like cover gigs, like 4 hours, you know. We'd do that, like, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'd go play an acoustic gig on Sunday. Like, that's how I was making it. That's the only job I've ever had is this. Like, the only way I've ever made it.
How much money you make playing?
Dude, if you do a lot of them, you can rack in.
Like, what do you make in a weekend? 3 shows, 12 hours. Like $1,200 or like
yeah, I mean, it was not a lot. I mean, it's $1,500. One time I made $1,700 in a weekend, and I thought I was just the richest person alive.
Yeah,
but I was splitting it evenly with my band back then. We'd all split it right down the middle. I mean, we were all I don't know why.
Not today.
Not
anymore.
Not anymore. They make more than I do now. they're making money on.
Not shows. For long though.
Not for long.
Yeah, hopefully
we'll get there. It's all climb. You know what I mean? It's the next step.
Absolutely. But wait, but that's what you do, and then, but you dropped out, you went to your parents and said, I'm going to drop out and move to Nashville and be a songwriter.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane? I never could have done that. I want to do that so badly.
My dad struggled with it for a second, I think. My mom's always been the person that is like, whatever I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And this isn't a surprise for them. You know, I have been this kid that is on any stage I could get on, singing before I could talk, you know.
How'd you have the confidence to do that, though? I feel like I have a lot of belief in myself, but I didn't drop out purely because I just couldn't face it. And
I
was
think
worried.
It was a confidence thing because I could have moved here and nothing could have worked out. And I knew that. Like, I knew
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that didn't freak you out. And you didn't think, if nothing works out, at least I'd have a college degree. That you like,
no,
you thought,
no,
screw that.
No, because if I lived the rest of my life and didn't move, and I would have to live with that. That's
yeah.
what really made me do it. Was I was like, this is an amazing opportunity. I have roommates. I have people that I trust up there, you know. And
but did you feel like there was a window you were going to miss that if you had waited 2 years or a year and gotten your degree, that there was a window that wasn't going to be there anymore?
Well, I just felt like I had done as much as I could possibly do where I was at. You know what I mean? I'd played all the cover gigs. Like, and I was, you know, at that point I was. And I still did that, actually, a little bit when I moved to Nashville. I still would go back home or Georgia or Florida, wherever the heck the gig was that weekend, and still play until COVID hit. But, you know, this was the next step. I wanted to learn how to write songs, and I knew that, why would I wait 2 more years, be in so much more debt, you know what I mean? And I'm not going to do what I was going to do there. You know, I was already failing the class because all I was doing was playing shows and making connections. And I mean, any bit of anything I could do, I was doing.
How do you make connections at the bar gigs? Like, with local promoters, or like, who are you meeting?
Yeah, local promoters. I mean, bar owners. I mean, anyone that would give me a shot, you know, I would just be like, yes, absolutely. I will come play the show for free.
Like, and then you come here. You start. By the way, I was on a phone call with Danny King this morning.
Love that guy.
Who? Well, you know what happened. So I was on. I called Maya because I was talking to Maya. Maya was like, "I let's talk this morning." So we was talking to Maya Hansen, and she was like, "Let's call Danny." So we called Danny, and Danny's like asleep, and he's like, "Hello."
Hello.
And Maya's like, "Danny, wake up! Like, we're talking to Zach," and he fell back to sleep like in the middle of the call. Like,
that's the most Danny shit
like,
I've ever
he
heard.
And we were like, "Danny." Danny, and Maya was like, he fell back asleep. And I was like, I can't deal with it. Why do we put up with this guy?
Dude,
what's happening
like,
here?
He's never in the same time zone for longer than 2 days.
He's nowhere.
Like, he's just, I will never be able to know 100% to give you an honest answer if someone asks, hey, where's Danny? I have no idea.
No idea. What does
he
do? What's your relationship with Danny? What does he do with you?
So he's my head exec. He's the one that, I met Danny because of Maya, who has signed me to my first publishing deal. And through that, she was just listening to all the songs I was turning in, obviously. And then even before I signed, she was listening to my Schedule A, and I was still sending her songs. So he'd be in the car naturally because they're dating, you know, and be listening to it. And so fast forward, like, you know, and Danny called me right when If You Have To happened, because he's just a genius. Like, he just knows. Like, he just has this thing about him that he just understands. Yeah. He understands.
He signed Zach Bryan.
He signed Zach Bryan.
Like, he manages Zach Bryan. I mean, he's everywhere.
He's done,
yeah.
He's done so much stuff. He's done a little Nas X. He's done...
He's under the radar, though. Like, you can't look this guy up, but he's everywhere.
No.
Yeah.
And so he's my head exec. He's the one that signed me to the deal. I remember I was in Key West a year ago. And he called me. He's like, "We're doing it. We're signing you to a deal." And then, you know, we went over and met with Sony Records Nashville, and I absolutely love everyone over there. And
but are you signed to? You're in a JV, right?
Yeah. So it's technically three. So it's Columbia, True Columbia.
Yeah.
Out of New York, and then Danny opened a country label called Saw God.
Yeah. Is that after the George Strait song?
No, he said, the way he describes that is every time that he's found an artist that he believes in, he feels like it's a God thing and it's a God moment. So that's why he called it Saw God. And then Nashville Records. So three of them.
So in New York, do you go to the office and do you play for them in New York?
I did. I've only been up there once, right before I signed. I went up and met everybody, and but we're constantly on Zooms and
doing the whole thing.
There, could they come here?
Are you
stuff.
In like Meg Maroney friends? Because you guys are on the same label.
Yeah, it's
not
funny.
Competitive.
I've known Meg, because she was going to UGA. Same time I was going to Auburn. I was in sorority. She was too.
Yeah.
And my manager.
Are those close? How close are those schools?
Not super close. And we didn't actually meet until we wrote together. We didn't even get a song this day. We just hung out the whole entire ride. We scheduled a ride and then just hung out and didn't write a song, which makes sense. But no, we've known about each other since I was like 18, 19.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I knew as soon as Meg moved here that, I was waiting on that. Like,
yeah.
Are
people mostly supportive, like other young artists?
Yeah. Because
there's a group of like young artists who are crushing it right now in Nashville.
Yeah.
You're kind of in this group. Like, is everyone pretty supportive, or are there people out there in your head that you feel like are not so supportive? Maybe a little cutthroat.
No, I think overall everyone's just so damn focused on what they're doing and then just excited
everyone
for
works.
Everyone else.
There's
yeah,
no
you
one
know?
In your head that you go, "Ugh, that person sucks."
I mean, there's a couple, but you know.
There are.
I mean, but there's like, that's any job everywhere.
What do they do though? Like, what has someone done that you're like, "Oh my God, that sucks"?
I don't know. Honestly, I haven't been in a lick of drama besides just making me want to smoke stuff. I haven't been in a
You stay
single.
Clear.
Dude, I grew up in a small town. This ain't my first rodeo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I know
yeah.
how to handle that stuff. All I do is I explain like a little bubble, and I keep my favorite people in that bubble, and I keep my head down in there, and I just work, and I look up, and I'll wave around, and then I'll just go back in there. It's just the best thing to do. I mean, we all do the same thing. We all work together, and it's hard because we're all trying to do the same thing, and it's not competitive, but it is a little bit in a way, and it's definitely a job where you're self-reflecting and seeing everyone else do things, and it's a lot. So for me, like, I've just found that being happy for others and excited for others, and it just
That's better.
Feels better, dude. And it is fun. It's fun to see your friends win. You know, I think Dylan Marlowe is, we've been friends for a while, and I think he's crushing it. Like, it's just fun to see people that I believe in too, because I'm also obviously not only do I do music, but I love music. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a fan, so it's cool. I like it. I mean, I feel like I have, you know, good relationships in this town, and definitely everyone to me just feels like they're all excited, you know, about each other's stuff. And I'm sure there's some weird things between some people, but that's just life.
The vibes
general.
Are good.
Vibes are great.
The vibes are great. It's great to be Ella Langley today. The EP's out.
It's a great day to be me.
Come
yeah,
on. This is
like,
the best. Hey, wow. I love what you wore on your Opry performance.
Thank you.
This was like really special because you tied in all these elements from your grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And on the back, it was the jacket you wore was stitched Langley in your grandma's signature,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Who makes this jacket? How do you get someone to do this?
So my style is really me and my mom sending a lot of things back and forth. We've gone through so many different phases, I feel like.
Is she your stylist?
Me and her, yeah, we do it together.
You don't have like, because most people sign a label deal and they get like a stylist.
No,
it's just
leave
you and
me
her.
Be. Because
you always look very stylized.
Thank you. I try my best. But, and then there's another woman, her name is LaDonna Casey. She she can just sew her ass off, to be completely
honest.
Who
is she? Just someone?
She's a family friend. She's just always.
And she sews all this stuff.
Her daughter was actually my dance coach. I was on the dance team from 8th grade to senior year. We won 2 state championships, by the way.
Humble. Anyways, because of you?
Oh, not because of me. I mean, I helped for sure. I was a part of that, yes. But anyway, so she's just a family friend, and she can sew. They're actually, I was on the phone with my mom this morning about they're making some shorts and stuff for me for festival season and stuff. But,
this is good, right?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, the personal touch and all of that, it just makes it feel so special. Like, a lot of these pieces aren't expensive things, you know what I mean? They're probably off some secondhand stores, but the little details in it just make it feel so special. And especially that Opry thing, you know, I didn't know everything that they were going to put on it. They had surprised me with the handkerchief and the medal on the inside, my grandpa's Air Force medal. And then the signature on the back, I knew they were going to put Langley on the back, but the fact that it was my grandma's actual signature, and she just, I mean, legitimately hand-stitched that whole entire thing. It's hanging in my closet right now. It is the coolest thing.
You ever
going to
wear that again, or that's retired?
No, that's retired. That's going to go in a shadow box. And
the Hall of Fame. It's going to go in the Country Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a one-night wear, but...
That was a one-night wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah. The EP's out. The whole record's, like, killer. It's, like, these songs are going to make you feel country.
Hell,
like,
yeah.
This is going to make you feel like you grew up in Alabama. I'm from New York, and I'm listening to this. I'm like, this makes me feel like I'm out in the woods. Country Boys, Dream Girl. To me, I felt a little bit attacked by that song. I'm out getting $20 drinks, and that's...
Hey, sometimes I ate.
I was thinking about this, too. I think some drinks are more than $20.
Dude,
like,
they're
getting
ridiculous.
Expensive.
They're ridiculous.
We're going to look back, and we're going to say it's $20 drinks are going to be cheap.
Yeah. Well, mainly when we write that song, and that's because I think about that, too. I wonder, you know, what guys think about that. Because, I mean, I don't, you know, God, never, anyways, too far in.
Do you have your moments, though, where you lean into that?
Yeah.
Like, now you're probably in some big events. You go to some big parties.
Yeah, I just...
You're probably becoming a little bit of the antithesis to the character in the song.
Well, I just feel like, even in those places, like, if I'm in a really fancy room, like, I feel a little uncomfortable, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm just more of... I've just always been that way. Like, chill. My dad put me in a ball cap. I mean, if I don't wear a hat and it's sunny outside, he thinks that somehow my eyes are going to melt out of my head, you know, or just...
That's what
you know,
he thinks.
Legitimately, I feel like that's what he thinks. But, you know, I grew up... I mean, I was a tomboy growing up. I mean, I was out, no shoes, running around, always outside doing something. So that's kind of the stuff that makes me feel comfortable and stuff now. And I always wonder, like, when I date guys that are, you know, not as southern or not as redneck, I guess, you know, they're kind of like, what? You know? So it just kind of makes sense.
Is that, do you need someone who's, like, kind of has a similar redneck background? Redneck
I
might not
know.
Be the right
they
term.
They just have to be able to accept mine. You know
that's
what I mean?
That's what they have to be
that's
able to
what
do,
they
right?
Have
to,
yeah.
That's it.
They don't have to be, you know what I mean? You don't have to know how to drive a tractor, but, I mean, if you did, it'd be cool. But, you know, if not, then it's fine.
I can't
you
do any of this.
To...
I can't fish. I can't do any of this.
Hey, well, fish is not that hard. You just throw it in there. And you.
But how do you – I can't bait it. Like, I don't know. No, there's skill to fishing.
There's skill to fishing.
I can't do any
of
this.
I like catching much more than fishing, personally.
What do you mean? Like, catching the fish?
Yeah.
Like, oh, like is that, catch, that's like yeah. That's got to be the oldest joke in the book. Like, if you're a fisherman,
yeah.
That everyone has to say that.
Yeah. Yeah, Trey's actually in Alaska right now fishing.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. You didn't go with him? Well, it's release day.
Yeah, it's release. He's there for a week. I don't want to fish for a full week. You
know? No. Is it?
Maybe. I mean, I would.
Yeah.
I definitely would take a week off to go fishing for a full week. But
This is what you do.
I mean, I love it. That's the thing I do when I go home that makes me just happy. I love being outside. I love the outdoors. I grew up hunting a lot with my dad. That was kind of mine and his thing to do. And we just actually got a hunting land together, which is really exciting. I'm getting to, like, start to help out in the money areas with all these hunting.
Wow, where'd you get the land?
It's a place called Raymer, Alabama. It's probably 25 minutes from Hopole, 30 minutes from.
Wow, Hopole. That's really cool. How's that work? Do you have a cabin on it, or what?
Yeah,
do you do?
There's a little house on it. It's badass. There's like
how much land?
I think it was like 250 acres.
Oh my God! Now you own this?
We don't own it. We're renting it, but it's like a little hunting camp. Like a couple of my dad's buddies and me. And he was like, "Hey, we found this badass hunting land. I was just wondering if you wanted to go in on it." And I was like, "I would love to go in on it." But yeah, there's a little house. There's a wraparound porch, swing, pond.
Oh my God!
Two or three ponds.
Are you gonna get out there at all?
Hell yeah, I'm gonna get out there. I'm going home on Wednesday. We'll probably go look at it and venture around. So.
Oh my God!
I'm so excited.
What are you gonna shoot on it?
Oh. Anything. I mean, deer. I like deer hunting's probably my favorite.
Yeah.
I love deer hunting, but dove. We'll do a lot of big dove hunts. My dad's a bit loves dove hunting because that's just I don't know if you don't know anything about dove.
I don't know anything about dove. What do I need to know?
Dove hunting's fun because you know deer hunting is kind of like that's my thing I do when I don't want to go talk to anybody. I can turn my phone off and you're not gonna find me.
And go
me.
Dove hunting?
Deer hunting.
Oh, deer hunting.
Deer hunting. That's the thing I do where it's quiet. You know what I mean? It's just my brain's clear. But dove hunting is more about the community, the congregation of it. Like everyone's drinking or you know.
How
we're all
easy is it to hit a dove?
Not. Not
it's not
easy.
That easy?
Hell no. They're small. They fly around really fast.
What do you shoot them with? Like a shotgun?
Shotgun. Yeah.
What's the biggest deer you've ever gotten?
The biggest deer I ever killed, I never found.
What?
Yeah.
How's that possible?
It's one of the hardest lessons I've ever learned deer.
No, stop. This was how do you lose the deer? Isn't it on the ground?
Happens all the time.
Because it's in the bush and you just can't find it?
Well, so this was right before I had to take my ACT, the night before, and there's this buck that we'd been seeing on cameras, and it was old, it's 12 point, in like Alabama, like we're just hunting like backcountry woods, like there's so many people that hunt deer in Alabama, they never let deer get humongous unless you're cultivating your land, you're really doing it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, so a 12 point just in the natural habitat, running, walking in front of you is like, holy shit, for me. At least, and so it was.
Are you
late.
In a stand or where are you?
I was sitting in a tent at the end of a field, and so the field was kind of long, and at the end it does this little dip right there, and when you're sitting on the ground, that dip seems a little bit bigger than it is. Anyway, so it was late. It was like right where you're like kind of squinting to see, you know. And there's a whole bunch of deer out there, and I saw them walk out, and I shot them. I was shooting a 308, killed a lot of deer with that gun. And you're supposed to sit there for a while, let them die, you know, like you're not supposed to get up because you can spook them off. Anyways, I was so excited. I waited probably five minutes maybe. And I get up, and whenever you spook a deer, they blow at you and they go, whew. And he blew at me. I heard it. I'm like searching for blood right down there, and I hear a whew. And run off. I knew immediately I jumped him up. If I would have left him laying there for five more minutes, he would have stayed there. My dad gets over there, and we look, and then there's a pile of blood with lung and heart in it. I mean, I would have just left him there. And it just...
This haunts you.
It haunts me.
This haunts you.
I mean, it makes you want to throw up. It's so horrible. And, well, I mean, too,
not
like,
even
you
because
know,
of
you're
the
taking
blood.
An animal's
just...
life. Like, I don't want it to just go die somewhere else. Like, I don't know, you know what I mean? Like... It's kind of a serious thing, and all the meat, and you know, we do all that, and anyway, so it's a big pile, and then, you know, you're trailing the blood, and get smaller, and then we're, like, finding it on leaves and trees, and then it just quit. We looked for that deer for, like, 2 weeks. I mean, looked for buzzards. We looked everywhere. I mean, could not find it anywhere. We don't know where it went. It probably fell down somewhere in a water hole. We couldn't find it. That's what deer do when they get shot. They run to water, but,
Wow.
Yep.
Here's the point. Here's the moral of the story.
Stay in your stand.
Sometimes good things are worth waiting for.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's worth taking your time.
Take your time.
Take your time to get things right.
Exactly.
Like this brand new EP that's out.
Take your
time. Ella's debut EP right now. Excuse the mess. Mm-hmm. It took a minute. Mm-hmm. She's been in town for 4 years. Mm-hmm. She had to find the right songs to tell her story.
Yep.
To present who she is. And they're here. There's 8 songs. And they're rocking. And there's some stories here. There's a duet with Co Wetzel. That's fire. This has been out for a minute.
Yeah, that one's
it's been
that
crushing.
Really cool. That's our best release thus far. It's crushing. I'm so proud of how that's
It's crushing.
Been. It's super cool, like, because, you know, it's like I have these plans in my mind, and sometimes they work out, and sometimes they don't. But sometimes they work out exactly how I wanted them to, or even better. And that's the case with this song. When we went in and wrote that song, we wrote it in the fall of last year, and we didn't go in there and write it for Co. We went in there and wrote it for me, and we got the song back, and it just Co made sense, you know. But we went ahead and got it mastered. This is honestly why the EP didn't come out a little sooner. We were originally planning on putting it out in April, but we had all the songs done, and I sent it to him. I wanted to get it mastered before I texted it to him.
Yeah.
I just cold turkey texted him, and I was like, "Hey, dude, it'd be really badass if you would
sing on this."
Sing on
and
this.
He said yes.
And he said yes. Yeah. So. Got his vocals on it and then decided to put it out as a single and kind of reapproached
I love
how
it.
We looked at the EP, but yeah.
And Runaway June's going to be putting it out next week too. Do you hear that?
Next week. Nice.
Next week it's coming out. Did you hear that? Man, just me. Ella Langley. Okay, so excuse the messes out now. You got to follow Ella on TikTok because she's everywhere. Socials. And she's going out. You're going to be out with John Party this summer.
Yeah, world tour, baby.
World tour. Where are you going internationally with him?
We're going to Germany, Switzerland.
Have you been
Ireland.
Overseas before?
Nope, I just got my passport.
Really?
I'm going to Cabo with Co. And this summer, Casey Donahue's doing
Oh, you're
going to
have a blast.
Oh, yeah. It's like Co, Colby Cooper, Mike Ryan, Pecos. It's going to be fun. But, yeah, that and how I got that tour is the funniest thing ever. And I was cutting in Sony Publishing. That's where we cut the whole EP.
Yeah.
And the first day, I was wearing all my rock shit, you know. And I was actually wearing this T-shirt. And the second day, I wore, like, you know, we were cutting the country or stuff, so I was wearing my hat, my vest, my jean vest, jeans and boots or whatever. And before you sing, a lot of people will eat Lay's chips because the oil from them is helpful.
That's a trick? You eat Lay's chips?
A lot of people do it. It's something about the oil in them. That's on all my riders. I ask for Lay's chips. But, yeah. And so I had to sing with the band, so I went out, and downstairs there's, like, this big lobby area or whatever. There's a kitchen and stuff, so I walked around, and they were playing John Party over the speakers, and I was singing it, but I was singing it like John Party, you know what I mean?
Like what? Like, give me a taste.
All right, so I was singing, I was looking down, and I was walking to the kitchen, and I was like, got a little dirt on my boots, because I'm taking you downtown tonight.
Is that,
you know?
That doesn't sound anything like John Party. That
well,
sounds like
I was
Ella
doing
Langley.
Me trying to do John Party.
Yeah, okay.
It's my joke, you know what I mean? Like, I was just trying, I was by myself thinking no one's listening.
Nobody's even listening.
No one's listening.
Yeah,
I'm just singing.
Yeah, you're just singing.
I'm in a great mood, silly, goofy mood. I'm cutting an EP. I'm excited. Anyways, I'm walking in and I look up and John Party is sitting there in his very cowboy get up, hat and everything. And I was like, of course, like just stunned almost. I was like, hey. And then I turn and that's he said, hey. And that was the whole conversation. Just I turned and got my Lay's chips and I was like, nice to meet you. And I walked off.
And then what? He said, oh my God.
Well, he called
that
one
is the voice of an angel.
Well,
I need her on my tour.
That's what he said?
Well,
he called one of the publishers and he said, who's that cowgirl I met downstairs? And they're like, that's Ella Langley and yada yada. And they're like, well, she's also a badass. You should bring her out on tour. And he's like, well, we do need a first of three. And we were in Hawaii, actually, in Maui. I was doing that songwriter's thing. And we got the news that we got the whole U.S. part, which was like, you know, that doesn't happen all the time.
How are you pulling these tours?
Dude,
you pull the best tours. You're out with Hauser.
Dude.
I don't know. You did the whole Hauser tour,
I just
tour,
am
right?
in the right place at the right time, I swear to God. And then the Europe tour, they sent it out and we put offer in and they let us do the whole thing. So, I mean,
you got a good agent. I know your agent. He called me.
Well, it's a lot of this too is just me like being in the dang right place at the right time. You know, Jamie, how I got that tour was, Randy picked me for that tour. So
yeah.
That was on WME and Randy. And then I'd met Co. I've known Co for since I was going to Auburn. He played a show there for like 100 something people. That's the first night we met. Back, I was like 19 maybe. But then Jamie. I played the Ryman on the last day of tour with Randy, and Jamie came out, and obviously being from Montgomery, like, Jamie's somebody that I look up to, and just, I think, is such a badass. And, it's always weird trying to go up and meet artists, you know, not trying to be weird about it, and so I went up to him, and I was like, I will kick my ass forever if I don't go over there and at least shake his hand. And, he was sitting side stage, and I walked up to him, and I said, hey, Jamie. I'm Ella Langley. I just want to let you know. I was like, I'm from Montgomery. I think you're a badass. I just really wanted to shake your hand. And that was the whole conversation. And then the next day, Randy texted me and he was like, can I give Jamie Johnson your number? And I was like, hell yeah, you can. And then he took me out to dinner.
No way.
A couple days later and asked me to go on tour. Yeah, it was really cool.
With Blackberry Smoke, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are great guys.
God,
I love those
guys. And then that tour was so cool. I mean, first of all, Jamie flew us around in his plane a couple times.
Yeah.
Not like, honestly, probably like 5 or 6 times. He's like, because he'd come sometimes.
How big is his plane? How many people fit in it?
It's not a huge plane. It's kind of like a little private plane.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I don't know. Like,
eight
maybe.
People
just like when you're sitting on there, you know, putting your seatbelt on, getting ready. God, I remember the first night we did it, we actually flew from, I forgot where we were playing, but they were doing a benefit in Biloxi for the Nikki Mitchell Foundation, and so Jamie and Randy and all them were playing, and Jay asked us if we wanted to go. So we flew, we got in, I mean, he walked right off stage, got us into a car, took us to the airport, put us in the plane, flew, picked up Randy Hauser on the way, like, picked him up,
yeah.
And then flew the rest of the way to Biloxi. And I don't know, it was just like, is this real life?
That's my constant phrase. I don't know how you get on these tours. It's unbelievable.
Dude, it's just being in the right place at the right time.
When you go up to these artists and they hear your voice, like before you even sing, just your speaking voice.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like they have to be like, oh my God, this girl's the real deal.
Well, that's why me and Randy, I think, get along so well. I mean, Randy just, he thinks I'm just so funny. I don't know. Like, he's just like, God, you're just like every girl I know from back home, and it's awesome.
That's what he says.
He's like, yeah. He's like, you're just like me. And I was like, oh, yeah.
That's how you get these tours.
I don't know. I just go out there. Honestly, I feel like I'm kind of a weird human being, to be completely honest. And I just go out there and just be like this. It's just, and somehow it works out. It's working out, dude. But I think it's cool. I think there's a lot of fake stuff going on in the world. There's a lot of the AI, the social media in general. And so I feel like honesty is something that is more rare now than anything. So, I mean, and there's just no, I've never been a different way. Sometimes I wish I could, you know, not say everything I'm thinking, but good God, I just don't know how.
Ella Langley, she's the real deal. She's shooting us straight here.
Yeah,
this is it. This is it. We've done it. Have we left anything out? What's been unsaid?
I don't think we've said everything.
The new EP's out right now. You got to listen to this. Excuse the mess.
Excuse the mess.
I don't know if she's messy. We'll have to ask Trey Lewis.
Yeah.
We'll have him on next.
He's messy.
He's messy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can't help it.
Are you messy?
No.
No. You guys just hired a cleaner recently, right?
Heck yeah, that's something to invest in.
Me too.
Once a month we just have them come and they clean the baseboards and the toilets and every. I mean,
oh my God,
it's
a game changer.
Smells like a new house when I come home.
I have this company. I don't know what it is. These three women come in and they clean.
Dude,
and they do it in like an hour. They clean the whole place.
Smells amazing. Looks
amazing. It smells good. It does.
You feel like a new person when your house is that clean.
Oh my God, even stuff where I'm like, don't clean like that pile of things. They'll do it.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Every time I'm like, don't clean this part up. And they're like, okay. And then it's just clean.
And that's
like,
just
well,
clean.
Thank you.
Because you think like they're not going to be able to do it. Like they're going to put things in weird places. And then they do.
They do. They vacuum under the bed. It's like, come on.
It's like Ella spent her whole life learning how to write songs. Yeah. And these people are cleaning professionals.
I can clean a house, but that takes a long time. Especially living
with
Trey.
Skill.
It is. And they can do it better than anybody. So
people who really invest in, it's unbelievable.
It's great.
Ella Langley, the EP's out now. You gotta listen to it. It's everywhere. Excuse the mess. That's it. We got it.
Sweet.
We're done. Follow her on Instagram.
Yeah.
Boom.